From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, June 6, 2018. And on this day, local sentiment is mixed about a deal that would compensate people in Western Maine area for problems caused by a new CMP transmission line. And very different campaigns for and against ranked choice voting. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Central Maine Power and a group of stakeholders in the Western Maine region where the company wants to build a major new transmission line have struck a mitigation deal worth up to $22 million. The money and land would compensate for the potential effects on local resources of the transmission line, including the scenic Kennebec River Gorge. As Fred Bever reports, local sentiment about the project is mixed.
From a bluff soaring 100 feet above the Kennebec River Gorge, Sandy Thompson cheered on a group of rafters below just a few days ago. She's a member of the local select board and a longtime resident whose own property abuts the proposed transmission corridor. She was tentatively against the project at first, but she says the idea of a mitigation package turned her in favor.
If there's a mitigation involved where some of the monies can come back to the community and help, these rafting companies are in a tailspin. Their businesses are going downhill. There's a lot of people against it, a lot of people for it.
The 145-mile line would bring hydroelectricity from Canada through Maine to customers in Massachusetts. Most of it would parallel existing lines, but some 50 miles of new corridor would cut from the Canadian border to the West Forks area, the center of Maine's whitewater rafting community, and home to a crossing for the famed Appalachian Trail. CMP's Thorne Dickinson says the mitigation package will include lands conserved for recreational trails along the nearby Dead River, funding for a visitor center, nature-based tourism, economic development, broadband deployment, and educational initiatives.
And some other things that we learned were important, things like public access to certain areas like Harris Station and Indian Pond, Kerry Brook, places where sometimes there are risks associated with some of the people's ability to get and to enjoy their resources that are there.
Dickinson says the company has been negotiating for more than 2 years with a group of stakeholders. It includes big rafting companies, Somerset County's former economic development director, and Larry Warren, founder of the Maine Hudson Trail System. But opposition to the project is not hard to find in the Forks area. Greg Caruso sits his canoe near the river's bank in Carrituck, a few miles downstream from the gorge where the Appalachian Trail crosses. He's the ferryman for the National Trail's only manned water crossing, and he's here every morning at the season's height. He's not a fan of the deal the big rafters cut with CMP.
Is it blood money? Could be considered that, in my opinion. I also think that it's an easy sellout.
A Maine guide, he notes that this state already produces all the energy it needs, and he asks why it should sacrifice its natural resources and the local economies built around them to serve Boston's energy needs.
The whole reason people come up here is for the wilderness. Every time you build a big project, we take a little bit away from that wilderness experience. So, you know, you keep hearing, oh, we got to save these people up in the woods. These people up in the woods don't want to be saved. I mean, they live up here for a reason.
CMP's contract with Massachusetts Electric Utilities is still pending, and state regulators here could decide on alternate routes, including a $37 million tunnel under the gorge. If regulators force one of those more expensive options, the value of CMP's mitigation package would decrease. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Maine voters will decide next week whether to keep ranked choice voting in future elections. As Mal Leary reports, two very different campaigns are underway, each attempting to shape public opinion in advance of Tuesday.
Supporters of ranked choice voting are behind hundreds of thousands of dollars of broadcast ads urging Mainers to keep the system they will use for the first time next week.
Hi guys, it's Jen Lawrence. Did you know there's an election coming up on June 12th? It's so important to get out and vote yes on question one to protect ranked choice voting.
Supporters have also held forums around the state, sent out mailings, and posted videos on Facebook and other social media platforms to urge voters to keep ranked choice voting. While the Yes camp has had the airwaves to themselves, opponents are waging a campaign of lawn signs and social media. Republican State Representative Beth O'Connor of Berwick, who wants ranked choice voting repealed, says a loose network of opponents is delivering its messaging through Facebook.
They've been able to reach well over 75,000 people on social media with that video. And then we have other people who are using the same platforms.
O'Connor says while opponents don't have the money to buy advertising, they also believe that targeted messages to likely voters via social media are far more effective and cost-efficient than broadcast advertising in primary elections. UMaine Farmington political science professor Jim Melcher says that the electorate in a primary is not only much smaller, it also tends to be more informed.
I think the people who like ranked choice voting are going to turn out. They're very intense. They care a lot. They tend to be high education voters.
And Melcher says these voters also share another common trait.
Most consistent, staunch supporters of ranked choice voting have tended to be independents. You know, all those national independent groups have been talking this up, what a great thing this is.
But the challenge for the Yes campaign, says UMaine's Mark Brewer, will be to get those independents to turn out in a primary election, which is really built for the two major parties.
Independents don't have a gubernatorial primary to weigh in on. They don't have a second district congressional primary to weigh in on. So what's going to bring them the polls in June? Well, if you're a ranked choice voting supporter, you better hope it's ranked choice voting that's going to bring them there.
Brewer says polling during the initial campaign for ranked choice voting 2 years ago indicated that independents strongly supported the proposal, which passed by a margin of 52% to 48%. Kyle Bailey, campaign manager for ranked choice voting, says the strategy this time around has been designed to respond to the expected electorate.
Every election is different, right? A presidential election is different from a midterm election, which is different from an off-year election. So the work we need to do is to educate voters who participate in primaries.
That education will include the election itself, as primary voters will get to kick the tires on the ranked choice voting system they're being asked to preserve for future contests. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, June 6, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.